You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty, what's up? Welcome in GC Live Tuesday episode. Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark here, taking you through South Carolina spring football practice. Number of topics to hit. Again, as always, are brought to you by Clint Hammond of Movement Mortgages. ClintHammond.com, 803-771-6933. Friend the market for a new home. Or if you just are thinking about taking that step, maybe from renting to owning, especially if you're a first-time home buyer and looking for somebody to kind of walk you through that process, what that looks like. Clint is your guy. He helped me do the exact same thing. He can do the same thing for you. 803-771-6933. Chris, man, still lots going on. Obviously, since we were last on, South Carolina men's basketball season has come to an end, but still, obviously, plenty of movement there with the Meechie Johnson news yesterday. Transfer portal, of course, rolling as far as South Carolina targeting some guys. Women's basketball back to the Sweet 16, which seems like their birthright at this point, but easy to forget just how impressive that is. I think we have to continue to acknowledge that. Baseball going on, and then, of course, spring football, which is the majority of what we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, spring practice number 4, I believe, Wes, is in the books. So not even a third of the way finished. You and I, of course, have as media members, I've only gotten to see 6 periods of practice number 1, but hearing some things, right? Kind of following it from a behind-the-scenes standpoint. Shane Beamer talking today, players talking yesterday. So I think some nuggets to be consumed there on the football team, and of course plenty, as you said, on the basketball front. And Wes, we haven't been on here since the baseball team had their big series win, a sweep over then number 3 Vanderbilt, who is still, according to every poll I've seen, still a top 10 team is Vanderbilt. So big weekend for many reasons, I think, in Columbia.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to everybody already joining us. I see Mr. Oscar Attaway Jr. checking in, Craig Godwin checking in, Clint checking in. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Good to see y'all. Hope y'all are all doing well. And let's start kind of with that, man. Shane Beamer talking today. And relatively, I would say, typical press conference, not a whole lot new coming out. I wrote about the cornerback battle, which then Shane Beamer spoke on that a little bit today as well. And I wanted to get into that some. Also, of course, Beamer asked about quarterbacks. I got a feeling, man, that that's going to be a question he gets on the regular. Hey, what's the latest on this group? Of course, both those guys, and then Luke Doty as well, spoke earlier this week kind of and gave their, I guess, perspective on that position moving forward. And injury report as well. Let's just start there, man. Unfortunate news. You hate it for Juju McDowell. He is now out for the spring as well. Added to that list. We knew already from last week, Rocket Sanders, which we knew even before that, Rocket Sanders going to miss the spring. And, you know, as a guy along with Mo Kaba, who we knew coming in, CJ Adams, talked about it last week, had a, quote, little bit of a spring break injury to his finger. We won't speculate on what that may mean, but we can all kind of guess. And Juju, who was dealing with this collarbone thing against Vanderbilt, missed the end of last year, and then but was back. We saw him out there day one, and now apparently he's diving for a pass, according to Beamer, and hurt it again. So they're going to go ahead and go in there and do a procedure. So you hate it for Juju, man. He's been through a lot when you start to look at the injuries that have added up for him. I think on a football standpoint, you know, they're going to be fine, but you just really hate it for him having to deal with that again.
Yeah, I mean, you do have two guys, Wes, that we're going to factor into this running back room that are not going through the spring. And yeah, I think the if there's a silver lining to that, it's you do have enough guys to rep, right, and guys that are going to factor in this season that are going to be able to rep during the spring. And then those other guys, the two that aren't participating, do have experience. You know, Juju McDowell has played plenty of football here at South Carolina and done some good things. Rocket Sanders, of course, we knew going into the spring that he would be out. He's got plenty of collegiate experience as well. And it looks like, you know, I don't think Beamer gave a firm timeline, Wes, did he, on, hey, here's exactly when Juju's going to be back 100% doing everything other than to say he was going to be out for this spring. But assuming that everything's fine and he can get at some point during the summer or preseason camp, get back in the swing of things, having a fully healthy running back room that includes Juju McDowell, who, again, he's done some good things at Carolina. He's been a kick returner at times at Carolina. There have been times, Wes, where we've looked up in the past few years and gone, man, Juju McDowell looks like the best back of this group. He's still, I think, an integral player that's potentially integral player that's gotten, I think, forgotten about a little bit. One thing I do know, though, in just thinking about running back, is that the competition, I think, and there's probably a few positions where they fall into this category. The competition there, Beamer spoke about this today, is much greater than I think it has been in a while in Columbia.
Yeah, it really is. And so, obviously, and I keep going back to this, how Dow Loggins, we talked to him a couple weeks ago before spring, kind of leading in on 107.5 The Game, and he's talking about, you know, didn't really mention players specifically, but he did mention Oscar Attaway and Rocket Sanders. So that sort of tells you maybe where their heads are at there. But I think you start to look at the depth of that position and you add in Jawaan Howell, who I think is going to be a part of that rotation this year as well. And could I kind of look at him in my head as being maybe the future of that position if you start to kind of get beyond this season when some of those older guys move along. And then, you know, you look a guy that Beamer was talked about or asked about and then talked about today in DJ Braswell. And I think kind of pretty positive comments from Beamer today about Braswell, just saying, yeah, he still does have a ways to go, but you talk about forgotten guys, man, Braswell has kind of been a little bit of a forgotten guy by the fan base. And, you know, it sounds like he kind of took it to heart. Like, guys can take that two ways because, I mean, the guys pay attention. They know. They see what's on Twitter. They see what's being written. They then see, they start looking around the room. Well, that guy's a transfer. That guy's a transfer. That guy's a transfer. Man, this room has gotten a lot more crowded. And so you can take that two ways. You can take your ball and go home and hit the portal yourself. Or you can say, well, all right, coach, I'm going to prove that I belong in this room. And so I think that's a good sign for the overall just health of that room in terms of competition is that Braswell, by the way, one of the fastest guys on the team, is still pushing and trying to do everything he can to put himself in a position to succeed as well. So it's kind of fascinating, especially in today's college football world where transfers have become just the norm. Even though most of those guys have not suited up for South Carolina, I look at the running back room and I'm like, man, I firmly believe that's going to be a strength for South Carolina this year based on what these guys have done at previous stops and what we hear about them so far during their time in Columbia.
Yeah, and Beamer went into that today too, and not just at running back, but at some other spots. I think he was kind of looping in running back and receiver and even the transfer quarterbacks who've had game experience, but certainly it applies to the transfer running backs that they've brought in. You've got guys that obviously have not played for South Carolina. This is year one for them at South Carolina, but you look at what they've done at their previous schools, whether it's Oscar Attaway averaging, you know, 6 yards a carry and getting lots of career carries at North Texas, Jawaan Howell's big season. He's a younger player, but his big season at SC State was outstanding. And then, of course, Rocket Sanders goes without saying, a 1,400-yard SEC season and what he's done throughout the course of his career, the plays he's made. You look at the receivers, right? Yeah, question marks in some regards, but, you know, Jared Brown and Gage Larvadan and and Amari Huggins Bruce, those guys between them, they've caught a lot of balls in college, right? So you do still have some questions at some spots. You certainly feel much better on paper about running back, but there's good reason to think that that's going to translate. And you definitely feel, I mean, Wes, compare it to last spring, right? I mean, we were going in so many questions. Braswell wasn't even here. Dekarion Joyner is transitioning, as you said earlier, playing running back for the first time since Pee Wee. And then you had a transfer in Mario Anderson who was coming up from another level. So I think a lot fewer questions, not to say, oh, they're going to be the best running back room in the SEC. We're not going that far. But man, I think you can allow yourself to feel a little bit more optimistic about this running back room and the improvement there.
Yeah. And, you know, Beamer, like you said, man, I think he was talking about running back, wide receiver, talking about edge a little bit in terms of the guys, and, you know, defensive line as well. He mentioned DeAndre Jules, the guys they have added at those positions. You know, in the case of Gilbert Edmond, you're re-adding a guy to that spot at edge and has sort of mixed right in there in that rotation. So I think there's more depth there. There's more depth at a lot of these positions. Not that there aren't questions, because there are. This is a very young offense. I think we all knew that, but it really starts to add up when you start to go through each position. And I more than ever think, man, they're going to have to lean on this running game as they bring along the other aspects. I do, however, think it sounds like this wide receiver core has already taken it to heart a little bit that they aren't the biggest group. And that's something you kind of hear mentioned a lot when you look at South Carolina's receivers. Hey, man, these guys aren't very big. And, you know, other than Harbor, who's been focused on track for the most part this spring, you know, he's obviously just physical specimen. But you look at these guys, if you were to roll out there with a drone at practice, you're going to see right now all smaller guys playing wide receiver. Well, you can take that one of two ways. You can take it as, you know, South Carolina's too small. Or if you're one of those three or four guys, you can take that as motivation to prove people wrong. And so I think, would you love to have a Leggett out there to balance out this group? Of course, like nobody's saying that. However, can you get it done with just speedy, quick, smaller guys? I think you can, especially in college ball where it's never going to be perfect. Every single team in America, even the most stacked teams, can look at a position or two and say, we're not quite where we want to be from maybe a size and speed standpoint. So I think it's more about, can these guys play versus how big they are? And then how much can you use that as a motivating factor just to prove people wrong?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. And I cannot remember the exact year, Wes. Maybe you can pull it out of your head for us. But, you know, there have been some years in the past at South Carolina where they've had a really good offense, a really good receiver core, and it's not necessarily an Alshon Jeffrey running around out there, you know? They've had years where, okay, here's Bruce Ellington, and here's Nicky Jones, and here's Ace Sanders, right? Yes, I agree. You would love to see a bigger guy, and to answer Clint's question, I think South Carolina is going to very much be keeping an eye on the portal post-spring when it opens again. And if there's a guy or two in there that have size that are, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", that can play, you're probably going to look hard at adding them. But at the end of the day, football's about, you know, South Carolina's newest wide receivers coach, Wes, guy Mike Furry, who was a walk-on. He was a really good NFL player. Not the biggest, not the most physically gifted guy. Now, if you're building out an ideal wide receiver room from a size and trait standpoint, you're probably going to have a mix, right, of those guys. But the point is, have you gotten better where you are now? It's still a question mark because you're losing Xavier Leggett, because you don't have the prospect of having Juice Wells coming back. But not only did you want to get that, maybe that number one type guy, Wes, which is to be determined, but it's pretty clear Shane Beamer wanted to really increase the depth on this team as well, right? Because once you got past Xavier Leggett, for the most part last year, sometimes it was a struggle. And so can you be, maybe you're not as good at number one, can you be a little bit better at 2 through 5, 2 through 6 is still a question, but they have added some guys that could potentially fit into those roles, I think.
Yeah, and you know, man, I think you do, you would love to have some size, but I'm also not going to sacrifice size for all the other qualities. Like, if you told me, yeah, I'll give you a 6'5 guy that looks the part, but he can't run, can't get open, can't use his body to his advantage, doesn't have a big catch radius, and just isn't a great receiver from a skill set standpoint, you know, that doesn't do me much good. So, you know, I'll take the small guys all day long if they can actually go play the position, if they can consistently catch the football, and they can get open. And so I think there are kind of levels to everything. You'd love to have one of Furry's old teammates, Calvin Johnson, who could just do anything and everything for you. But guess what? There aren't many of those just hanging out in the transfer portal right now. So, or there won't be in the spring either. So I think everything, you know, you got to have some perspective on. We'll see if they can go add a guy or two. But I do think if they had to just roll with this group, these guys have caught a lot of passes in their careers. It hasn't always been necessarily at like the SEC level for these guys, but at least you know you're not counting on 5 true freshmen and just praying that they can get ready. That would be a much different story, I think. And then, you know, I think Mazio can get in there and do some things for you as well, just because he is such a competitor. He is a guy who is kind of far along as a high school receiver compared to most. And so we'll see. I think it's a very intriguing position in terms of just how will it play out. Like you said, maybe there is not like a true number one, but maybe all those guys catch 40 or so passes as opposed to having one guy catch 60 or 70 balls or something like that. There's more than one way to do it. And, you know, I think that's going to be a big storyline we continue to talk about throughout not just spring camp, but probably preseason as well. Another storyline Beamer was asked about today. Clayton White talked about it last week. I wrote about it this week. The battle at corner. And I didn't really think about it like this, Chris, until Clayton White said it. But it's kind of been plug and play the last couple of years. You lost, obviously, Rush and Cam Smith this past season. But O.D. Fortune and Marcellus Dial, who was already a kind of starter, was sometimes nickel, sometimes corner. But he was already in a position where you kind of knew he and O.D. were going to be the guys. This year, O.D. is now kind of counted on as, hey, man, you're our most experienced corner. Opposite him, you have several guys who are in the mix to potentially start. And I'll tell you, Chris, I was of the belief during the portal window, I was like, they need to go get a corner. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt pretty strongly about that. And even somebody asked me on the message board, and I said, yeah, I kind of disagree that they didn't go try to get a corner. Didn't make it a huge priority. Well, I'm maybe second-guessing myself a little bit, because I think both what they've said publicly and internally, they actually feel really, really pretty good about the guys fighting for that spot, taking that next step, especially when you add in Jalewis Solomon into that equation as well.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be a little bit different. You know, you can't say that you've got, like you had in 2022, you can't say you've got 3 NFL players almost assuredly out there rotating in. Because remember, that year you had Cam Smith, NFL guy, Darius Rush, NFL guy, Marcellus Dial will be a draft pick right after his season last year, almost quietly had a really good year. So there are some question marks there, but Fortune's played a lot. He's the older head in that group and has done some good things here at Carolina. And then you look at the promise, it's unproven, but the promise of some of these other guys, Judge Collier, who isn't really as much of a household name because he was an in-state guy, but he wasn't a big-time recruit. He came into spring because of how much he played last season with the edge. But then you have Vakari Swain, who, Wes, you and I talked about this guy recently. He does some things athletically that are a little different You know, he can do some things that even for an SEC football team, you go, ooh, you know, that's different. You've got him. You got Emory Floyd, who's a bigger, faster kid, not doing track. So he's just out there fully focused on football right now. He's got interesting traits. And then Solomon, who's not on campus but will be this summer. Between all those guys, as long as people progress and develop as they could, as they can under Torian Gray, who has a good development record, you know, you might end up being solid there. Question mark, yes. But do you have some personnel pieces where it's not a huge leap? I don't think it's a huge leap.
I do think, man, in time, there's maybe actually more depth at corner potentially than there was last year, with just maybe not quite having the upper echelon guys like you're talking about, the NFL guys. Dial, very underrated part of what they did last year. And Clint says, you know, he's a little bit concerned about OD. I thought OD took a big step forward last year, y'all. I really did. And I think he can maybe take another one this year. And, you know, we'll see. I think there will be more pressure up front, which we know that's always hand in hand. It's always rush and cover, right? And so I think that will help those corners. Eventually, you really would love to feel like all those guys at corner are coming along to where you can put together a true two deep. You can have a rotation and give guys breathers if they want. Last year, you know, it was a lot of just, man, these are the two guys. And then Judge was kind of, when healthy, was your third corner, and he was the rotation piece if either corner was out. And so there just wasn't really a ton of proven depth at that spot. You kind of hope you can add there. And Beamer actually stole my thunder. I was going to post this note to our members that another guy to keep an eye on there is that David Spalding is actually also working at corner, a guy who's played a ton in the past as well. You know, has played nickel, has played safety, has played some corner, and it is someone who is at least in the mix and can provide some depth too. So I think a fascinating position there as well. And best case scenario, though, y'all, in my opinion, best case scenario is we start to hear Vakari Swain has started to make his move. Because I just think from a pure upside standpoint, Jalewis Solomon, not on campus yet. We'll want to lay eyes on him, right? Like, I'm not ready to say Jalewis will just step on day one and have the highest upside of any of them either. I want to put eyes on him. However, Vakari may have the biggest upside of that entire group of guys at corner, just from a pure, raw, natural athleticism standpoint. But also, I think he probably had the furthest to come along when he arrived on campus. So, you know, I think OD was kind of raw as well when he got on campus. He's developed.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, and it kind of goes to, along with Clint's questions there, question, would you play Vakari at wide receiver or DB? And I think because of what you said there, Wes, my answer right now would actually still be DB. As intrigued as I am, and realizing what I just said, hey, Vakari Swain can do some things athletically that are different, I think from an upside standpoint, for him personally, like as a player, his upside is probably even greater as a DB. And it sounds weird. I just think he might, as a team, the upside might be greater there too. Now, I know he's got some length. He's got some size where, look, if they put him at receiver tomorrow, I'd be sitting there going, okay, this guy can probably help them pretty soon. But I just like the idea of him at DB, because I feel like if he starts reaching his potential soon, he's got starter potential as soon as this year. And I feel like the upside is just so considerable there that I've started kind of leaning in that direction more. But I don't think you could really go wrong per se. The other thing, Wes, Vakari Swain, I mentioned this on the Insiders Forum, I think this morning, I think he could get a look as a return man too, which is something he also excelled at in addition to everything else in high school.
Yeah, he can do so many things. I just think it's, you know, and he's a guy we even, most of last year, Chris, I'm sitting there, you know, you're probably similar. You're going, all right, are we going to see Vakari? You know, he redshirted I think he got in there very early in the season, but then didn't even come close to hitting that redshirt barrier. And I'm going, all right, where's Mecori? Like, this is a guy I kind of circled as being a potential early impact. And we even heard this offseason a couple of little rumbles just internally of, like, you know, that might have been a guy we could have made more of an effort to try and find some role for. And, you know, I think as a true freshman, even in today's college football world where it's play now, play now, play now, there is still a place for a guy to redshirt. Now, I think going into this year, Chris, like if we're looking at that cornerback spot, here's my answer to that question. If we're looking at that cornerback spot and we're getting into July, August, getting into the preseason, and it's obviously OD, and let's say it's Judge, and it's Emory Floyd, and then, well, hey, Jalewis Solomon is next, and you know, Spalding's in there, and Vicari's kind of down that list. That's when I start going back to that conversation we were having about wide receiver, and I'm saying, at what point do you kind of pull that move and say, all right, Vicari, let's put you over there because you are dynamic with the ball. So I don't think it's the final answer. It's not a final answer, really, until I see, like if by the end of the spring the staff is in behind closed doors going, like whispering, hey, Vicari's going to be a starter at corner this year.
Yeah.
Then, to me, I'm done with that convo. Like, yeah, hey, he's a starter. There it is. If he's kind of falling down that list, I'm starting to say, hey, this guy's too athletic not to help us somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, you don't typically make a move if a guy's a starter or excelling somewhere. You don't rob Peter to pay Paul and go, hey, you know, this guy is really, really – it would have been like taking what Shy Smith ended up being at Carolina West. You remember when I wanted to make him a corner?
You would have moved him, dude.
Out of high school. No, not in college, though, because once he established himself and got to be a starter, you could still go, man, that guy could be a really good corner. But you're not going to take him in college and say, hey, go play corner. I know you're starting at receiver, but you should go over there because you got even more upside. I actually tend to think Mecori Swain has more upside to start with at DB. And since he's already there and since he's already, you know, making some moves and doing some positive things, maybe trending in the right direction, I think you keep him there. But here's the thing, Wes, Judge Collier, he's still there, right? He's still, you know, if you had to kind of pick your first team guys, you probably put Judge opposite OD. And then you've got Emory Floyd in there, who, remember, we picked up some talk earlier this year that he was also trending in the right direction. So, again, that's a spot where you've got, I think, a good bit of competition going on this spring and probably after spring as well.
Yeah, no doubt. So everybody always likes to hear about freshmen. By the way, intern Joe just shot in here unnoticed behind the curtain and threw in some Shane Beamer clips for us. So we're going to reward intern Joe's work by using some of his work here. Of course, Shane Beamer, like we said earlier, he spoke today, so this is all fresh. Beamer was asked actually by intern Joe, I believe, about the true freshman. And Beamer gave a little bit of cop-out answer when he said everybody, as far as guys that have impressed him. But it goes along, Chris, with some of the things we've heard behind the scenes as well about, I would say, two guys I keep hearing about, no surprise, and that is that Josiah Thompson and Dylan Stewart are as advertised as five-star prospects. And somebody else, Chris, I feel like I'm hearing more and more about that's maybe a little more under the radar than those two guys would be JR, don't call him Fred Johnson, who is, I just think, maybe a guy people are going to need to know about sooner rather than later. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. Those guys, I mean, it's very interesting that South Carolina, their two five-stars from that 2024 class are both on the line of scrimmage. And that coming into this year, of course, was there were many points of emphasis for this team, but the offensive line certainly won. You know, if you can recruit guys that look like Josiah Thompson that can move like him, you're probably going to end up being pretty good. Offensive line, of course, a little bit more of a future-facing, you know, forward-facing type of position. But as we've seen, Carolina played some guys early last year, probably earlier than you wanted. And Josiah Thompson, good enough, Wes, to where he's probably going to be able to push in and factor in. We know that Dylan Stewart is going to have a chance. Just the way he looks, the way he moves, he can bend, he can run. Very athletic guy, very talented guy. It's hard for me to not envision him playing some type of role as a pass rusher ultimately. And then, yeah, we keep talking about competition. Like, linebacker is going to be one where they've got, frankly, they've got, I think, more depth than they did last year. Probably more athletic upside. And J.R. Johnson, even though you got a couple guys back that played a lot, a few guys back that played a lot, and you've got two transfers, they seem quite impressed with the freshman, Wendell Gregory, and J.R. Johnson. You talk about a guy that looks the part. I think he certainly does.
Yeah, and already playing multiple linebacker spots as they kind of go back and forth between that 3-3-5 and 4-2-5. BRC says, wait, we don't get to call him Fred. You can still call him Fred, man. But he did. So he was Fred Johnson on his recruiting profiles, but he did decide to be J.R. Johnson in his official South Carolina bio. So we got to recalibrate. J.R. Johnson, that's what he's going to go by. I think, man, it's been four practices. Don't need to get ahead of ourselves. But I do think this is a guy who fans are going to need to know. I think both freshman linebackers could help the team this year, but I get a sense Johnson is already coming along. We'll see if that continues. Again, four practices and winter workouts in. We don't want to get too far ahead, but very talented kid, long, athletic, and can do a lot of different things. So we'll certainly continue to keep our eye on him. And as I teased a second ago, here is Shane Beamer talking about these freshmen, most of which are already on campus. Yeah, so again, Shane Beamer obviously speaking there earlier today, and I wouldn't say, Chris, anything groundbreaking there, but kind of some confirmation, some official confirmation on some things we've maybe been saying or hearing or reporting previously on a number of those guys, and linebacker continues to be a spot where we knew that was the goal. They wanted to upgrade the speed and athleticism, and they didn't want to lose those two guys, like to make that clear, but once they did, it was, hey, there may be an opportunity to upgrade a couple of aspects here. And speed and athleticism, I think, was a big part of that. They're still kind of big up front, I think, as far as the defensive line goes. But those linebackers, I think they just have more guys who can run when you look at their four total additions with the two freshmen and the two transfers.
Well, no matter the circumstance, I think you're, if you're doing your job, you're always trying to upgrade. And so, like, you kind of reverse engineer what happened with the linebacker room this offseason, Wes. They were obviously going to take a couple of high school guys. They wanted J.R. Johnson. They wanted Wendell Gregory. They got both of them. Great, right? They were looking in the portal even when Stone Blanton was still on the roster, even when Pup Howard was still on the roster. But things really ramped up for sure when those guys left, as I recall. And so from there, it's like, all right, well now there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency to go get a couple more guys to pair with your freshmen, to pair with your guys that are returning. And South Carolina was able to get a couple good ones, like guys that have played a good bit of ball and guys that have athletic traits. So, yeah, you look at like Demetrius Knight, you know, I know that's the guy you've been pretty high on, Wes. From a physical standpoint, very impressive looking guy, has a knack for the big play, what he's shown in college, has played a good bit of football at a couple different schools before getting to South Carolina. And then Bengali Kamara, Gali as they call him, very active, very athletic guy. Again, more experience, right? And so it's not a knock on past guys for sure, but when you look at what they've brought in and then the whole picture, the two athletic freshmen, Van Martin Scott, Debo, Jerron Willis, and then these two guys coming in, the picture from an athletic standpoint looks good. And then the experience standpoint as well. Obviously, everybody has to integrate. Everybody has to take a step forward. The transfers have to integrate well into the defense. But they've got flexibility up front, and I think they have done better for themselves on the athletic front.
Man, I love a good nickname. Golly, that's a good one because really it's unique too. Obviously his name is Bengali, so it fits, but I can't think of many players nicknamed Golly. So extra points, I think on that. So kudos, especially for linebackers, you need to have a good nickname, man. But yeah, that group's going to be pretty good. I think they are genuinely, from what I hear, that the building is genuinely excited about what they can roll out there at that position. Now, the downside, to just be completely honest about everything, is you don't want to have to bring in guys that only have that 1 year of eligibility. You know, you'd love mm-hmm. to be yep. able to kind of have both sides of this, long, athletic, can run, but also stick around and develop and stay within your system. So certainly when you go get your two freshmen, Gregory and Johnson, you're hoping these are some guys that can stick around as opposed to leaving like Pup and Stone did. So that is the downside to it. You don't want to have just rotation year after year. They do bring Debo back. They bring Bam back. I think that's been a little bit underreported, man, that Bam obviously did a lot at that Sam spot, which is only on the field in the 3-3-5. Now giving him an opportunity at the Mike spot to potentially earn more playing time this year to where he's on the field in the 4-2-5. But he's going to be battling Demetrius Knight there, who I think is going to have his own say in that as well. So the competition there, you know, somebody's mentioned, you know, maybe Debo is going to have to fight as well. I'd be shocked, honestly, if Debo Williams is not a starter this year. I think he's the one guy I'd probably pencil in. I would probably pencil in Bam as a starter at that Sam spot in the 3-3-5, like when there's three backers. But past that, I mean, I think who's the starter at Mike in the 4-2-5 is kind of up in the air, in my opinion. Like Bam will have every opportunity, but I'm not going to count out Demetrius Knight either.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some guys that have played so much ball in your two transfers. Like, and this is not to diminish, like, maybe J.R. Johnson plays so well that he's pulling down some pretty significant snaps this year. Right. That's a possibility. But, I mean, the guys you brought in, it's not like – I mean, they're a question mark in terms of putting them in your defense and seeing, like, how well they can play. But they have some tape. You've seen what they've done. And now you can see what they're doing throughout the spring. Then you've got also, Wes, I mean, you got summer and preseason. This thing isn't going to be over after spring ball. I think that competition is going to continue. It's going to be fierce, and it's going to be good, I think, for everybody, you know, to go through that. So I'm honestly, there's not really a move at linebacker that I would be completely shocked by if insert whatever here happens with the guys that they have on campus, other than like a freshman jumping everybody. That would be pretty shocking. Everything else, though, I think there's a lot of competition here.
Well, if a freshman does do that, man, that just means that freshman is a bona fide dude.
Yes, yes, that's right.
So that maybe wouldn't be a bad thing either, honestly. Sometimes a freshman's playing, it's, you hate to say by default, but that's a big part of it. If that happened here, it would be just that they were that good, which, you know, that would be quite the story as far as the guys that are there. All right, y'all, before we move forward, let me tell you about our friend Andy Ludeke from MyPerfectFranchise.net. Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Contact Andy by shooting him an email, Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net, or give him a call or text 404-973-9901. Andy is a supporter of this podcast, and you may be sitting there saying, Wes, what the heck are you talking about? What does that even mean? Basically, Andy is a franchise consultant. He's also a franchise owner, so he has firsthand experience, but a franchise consultant helps people find franchises that will fit their skill sets, their financial requirements, their time to commit, and more. Most importantly, his services are 100% free. He is here to help you if you have any questions about business ownership, if you're ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream, if you're looking for a side hustle while working your current job, or if you're wanting to diversify, build wealth, and or leave a legacy, Andy can help you. Again, call him today, 404-973-9901. Did we cover everything we want to cover right now, football-wise, Chris, or is there anything else you want to hit on?
You know, so let's say no and no. I mean, I think, honestly, man, we could go probably 3 more hours with the amount of storylines, but we need to save some things, I think, probably. I think we hit on the high notes that we needed to.
Yeah, I want to get your reaction. We talked about it on the radio earlier for anyone who listens to that. If you don't, I do want to get reactions to the Michi situation, and I do want to pass along a recruiting note as well, and I'm looking through what intern Joe posted. I tell you what, just to make sure we covered everything, I don't think we'll have much else to add that we haven't already said on this. I'm going to play Beamer talking about quarterbacks just because that is going to be a constant storyline until it's not. And so here's Beamer on quarterbacks, and then we'll get into a couple of other things after that. Yeah, so I don't know what happened there. I thought there was more there, Chris, but did that go 46 seconds or did it just cut off?
Doesn't seem like it's 46 seconds, but I can't. I wasn't timing it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, all right. So let me make sure. I'm going to give you all a little rundown here because I've got it in text form as well, just to make sure we hit on points there. But he obviously, Chris, is happy with the competition at quarterback. Also mentioned the leadership that they have at that spot. And, you know, I think, Chris, just talking about the experience that they added out of the portal, again, we still expect it to be Lenora Sellers, but it is a much different spot there when you're talking about Robbie Ashford, even Davis Bevel, who comes in as a walk-on. I think that's a kind of sneaky good addition in that this is a guy who started, I think, Texas-Oklahoma game. And, you know, I don't think they're close at all to naming a starter at this point. It seems like they are set on letting these guys all just kind of rotate around and get as many reps as possible this spring.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Lenora Sellers obviously opened the spring, taking the first reps. They've never classified it as opening the spring as a starter. They've classified it as opening the spring, getting the first reps because he, believe it or not, was the most experienced guy coming back. But, you know, it's going to take some time, I think, Wes, for it to ultimately land on Sellers. That is our expectation, but it's not going to happen after practice six. Heck, I don't even know if it'll happen after spring. We'll see, you know, where things are at, what the staff's assessment is, and frankly, maybe how much they want to say publicly about whatever they think at that point. But Beamer was, I think, very intentional in pointing out that there is some experience in this room, right? You may not have seen Robbie Ashford or Davis Bevel take a snap at South Carolina. We've seen Luke Doty do it, obviously, to the extent that he gets inserted back in the mix. But there are some guys that have played some football here, and there's some talent and there's some athleticism in there as well.
For sure. All right, so we're going to talk Michi, but first, Chris, why don't you tell everybody the mid part of April, is it April 15th this year? April 17th? April
16th? It's mid-April. Yep.
It's mid-April, I know. As always, when you need to have your taxes filed, of course, you can always file for an extension. But if you're like me and you don't know the exact date, if you have questions, if you need help, if you just want somebody to – if you want to just hand them a stack of papers and say, help me, yes. Chris, our friends at Liberty Tax, they're there to help.
Well, and that's the great thing about Larry and his team at Liberty Tax. Larry has seen pretty much anything. You may be thinking, you know what, I have a lot of tax anxiety because my taxes are a mess, or I don't have a plan, or maybe, Wes, you walk in there and say, you know what, Larry, I didn't file my taxes last year. Whatever the issue is, if you want to plan for the future, if you need to kind of remedy what you've done in the past, Larry and his team can do it for you. 803-462-5576. I can speak to it personally, Wes. Larry's handling our taxes this year for my family. He's done a great job. He's made a lot of time for us, tons of experience. He's seen it all. He's got great stories. And like our friend Clint Hammond, Wes, he's probably going to ask you about the Gamecocks too and talk a little bit about that. So go check him out, 803-462-5576.
No doubt. Appreciate them for being a great supporter here of the show and for helping us with our taxes. Chris, Michi to the portal as of yesterday. It's official as of today. And I know some Gamecock fans probably a little bit hurt on this one. I think we knew when the season started there was a chance this would be Michi's last year, but most of us kind of thought that would be, well, he's been in college for a while. Maybe it's time to make his run at playing professionally. And so I don't think we necessarily thought this was the most likely option, but here it is. He's gone, probably going to Ohio State. That seems pretty fairly apparent based on what we've heard. And just yet another example of the new norm when it comes to college athletics. I would say even more so in basketball, man, than in football.
Yeah, it is. And it's the reality we're in. You know, I was telling you earlier, Wes, on the radio, and I don't know if this is a great, you know, analogy to make or not, but you know, in the pros, if let's say South Carolina is a pro team, and you follow South Carolina as a pro team, well, Michi Johnson, if he came into South Carolina when he did a couple years ago and he was on a 2-year deal, you could say, all right, well, we might lose Michi after this season. Maybe he resigns. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he gets traded at some point in the trade windows, right? But there's windows to transfer in college athletics. That the window does still exist, but everything else has kind of gone out the window, maybe temporarily. We'll see. Of course, the NCAA decision recently, Tennessee and Virginia taking on the NCAA, they prevailed in that temporary restraining order. And so NIL rules kind of out the window, transfer rules kind of out the window in terms of the number of times you can transfer. So if you want to move again, go for it. if the collective from Ohio State wants to publicly kind of recruit a guy before he's in the transfer portal officially, that can be done as well. And so we're in an interesting time. And I know fans have kind of come to grips with it. You pointed this out, Wes. They've come to expect it. But sometimes there's still instances where it's a little jarring, and I think Michi Johnson was probably one of those.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at a guy's career a little bit differently, man. I mean, I talked about this too. How will fans now, when they look back, will they look at Talon Cooper and BJ Mack, who actually only spent 1 year here? You know, they were here 1 year. Michi was here two, but you're going to look at it differently because that guy went and wanted to spend his last year of eligibility elsewhere. And so I think for fans, it is different and they have accepted it. But if you make a business decision, which this by all indications is a business decision, I don't think you have to have, as a fan, hard feelings towards that guy. Like, there doesn't have to be hatred, but do you have to sit there and pull for him at every step of the way for the rest of his career either? No, you don't have to. There's nothing that says you have to. And I think, do you have to say, oh, man, I want to see Michi at Legends Weekend 10 years from now the way I want to see Talon and BJ? Fair or not? Probably not, man. Like, that's just how it is. And I do think that's going to be, when we look back on this era, but maybe an error too, when we look back on this era of athletics, there is something that's going to be missing from college athletics in terms of the connection of the fans, the support of the fans, in the idea of this is not a four-year decision, it's a 40-year decision, for some guys, does not exist anymore. So I think that, again, I would have no ill will to anyone for making a decision that they think can better themselves. That's not what I'm saying at all. But like any decision, there are repercussions to those decisions as well in terms of the future. And so for South Carolina, yeah, they're going to go out. They're going to now try to go fill that spot in the portal with someone else, you know, and it is what it is. But I do think eventually there's going to be more changes to how things are done in college athletics, I think, to maybe settle this stuff down a little bit. But for the time being, this is the norm. This is the norm. It's the expectation. And especially when a guy does not have roots at your place, when a guy's not from your state, you almost have to just put it in your mind that I'm going to get to watch this guy for about 30-something games. And at that point, maybe I will for another year. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, and I'll say when guys come back now, Wes, it is almost – you know how fans get so excited when a guy commits out of high school, right? Like, that's why we follow recruiting. That's why I follow the transfer portal of incoming guys. Like, man, we're getting this guy because there's that hope. This guy's gonna improve our roster, right? Same reason why people love transactions in the pros. Who are we trading for? Who are we gonna draft? Who are we getting in free agency? Now, when a guy chooses to come back to your school, that's cause for celebration now, to be quite honest. Like, if it's your big time guys, if the portal window closes and that guy's on your roster day one suiting up for you, that's important. And it's something that, you know, fans are dealing with it. Coaches are dealing with it, obviously. And then, you know, players are dealing with it in different ways, right? And everybody's going to have a different perspective. You know, for Michi Johnson, his perspective, I'm sure, is, hey, I'm getting an opportunity to go back home. I signed with Ohio State out of high school. I'm from Cleveland. I have tons of family ties here. This is the place that I want to come back to for like a Legends Weekend or whatever, right? So that's his perspective. But it's fair for both. It's fair for fans to be a little ticked off, whether it's at him, the system, whatever it may be. Like, everybody's got to understand that this is where we are right now.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's no it's no hard feelings whatsoever. It's just a matter of, you got to know when you make that decision too. Some fans are gonna see it differently than others. And I think the fans that are financially committed to, you know, giving to the collectives and stuff like that, they're going to feel a certain way as well. I will say this. I thought it was a different reaction from the fan base than maybe it was to the Juice Wells situation even. Whereas when Juice hit the portal, you know, there were people extremely ticked off. With this, maybe a little bit more muted, just because fans have retrained themselves in terms of the expectations for if a guy is going to be at your school for the rest of his eligibility or not. It just kind of is the new norm. And, you know, Mr. Attaway here tuning in saying, we just want to win. I think we all are guilty. Fans are all guilty. Nobody's happy when that transfer is leaving your school. Everybody is ready to welcome them with open arms when that transfer is joining your school, you know? So as Michi leaves, we don't know who the player is going to be yet, but there's some outstanding transfer who's either in the portal or is going to be in the portal that we'll probably be reporting on in the next month. You know, player XYZ has committed to the Gamecocks, and everyone here is going to be excited as all, you know what, to add them to the roster, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the whatever school that guy came from is going, what in the, you know, all ticked off. Exactly. I had to put this up from BRC Gamecock. This is just funny. I mean, first person to move from SC to Ohio. If anybody's from Ohio on the show, I'm sorry if that offends you. We still love you.
We still
hopefully
love you.
Hopefully you love us too. But that is funny. You got to admit, even if you're from Ohio, you got to admit that's funny.
Yeah, even Ohioans will agree that that's pretty
Speaking
funny.
Of Ohio, Wes, didn't you have a recruiting note for us?
Oh, I did. Yeah. By the way, real quick, before I forget, if Mr. Attaway, if I'm ever in Arkansas, man, I'm going to come by the barbecue joint. Like I heard it's can't miss. So I want to get hooked up with some pulled pork or something or whatever y'all's specialty is. I love some barbecue, man. So I'm coming by to see you. But yes, so speaking of Ohio, that was a great segue there, Chris. But a South Carolina quarterback target who I'm sure most of you already are aware of, Ryan Emery, who we knew already was going to be on campus for April 20th weekend. Chris, according to Chad Simmons, who either talked to Ryan or his family, that's now an official visit. So we kind of wondered, what was that going to look like? It kind of morphed into taking some more visits. Then that kind of morphed into maybe those are official visits. And now we know for a fact that all of a sudden is going to be a huge OV weekend for the Gamecocks. You got some guy named Ryan Montgomery. And then you got David Sanders, 5-star offensive tackle, who's taking his official visit that weekend as well.
Yeah, you do. And this is interesting, Wes. I mean, the number of official visits that you and I are going to be tracking that, you know, it used to be back in the day when you and I first started doing this, your official visits were, you got some during the season. And then, man, December and January, like, it's big time official visit season. Well, then it got moved back. You know, you've still got some of that I'm talking about, but you've also got the summer. Summer became a big official visit season. You're starting to see it drift back more and more. Guys can even take more official visits than just 5 if they want. And you're seeing the calendar continue to drift backwards to where, and it's more accelerated, right, to where guys are now going to be taking, you know, spring official visits. And so a couple on the books. Montgomery's timeline has been interesting to follow, Wes, because we were tracking this thing and there was a chance that he could have made a decision like in February, like last month. And then, you know, pushed it a little bit more to take some spring visits. And now it looks like it's pushed it even a little bit more. There's been discussions of making a return visit to Georgia in the month of June, for instance. Now, we'll see if ultimately that holds. But this was kind of an important decision for Montgomery. Like you said, he's going to be on campus regardless. But was he going to go ahead and make this an official visit or not? I kind of tend to think that might even help South Carolina, Wes, to have a little bit more of an extended stay, get the official visit treatment that weekend, might even help them a little bit, but they've definitely got a good shot. So we'll see where this thing goes.
Yeah, I'm reading Chad's article here. Apparently, Gamecock Central South Carolina insider Chris Clark has logged an on three recruiting prediction machine in favor of Montgomery.
I have heard that.
Committing to the defense. Do you have a comment on this matter, Chris?
I do. You know, and that was during the on three RPM day. So we were making some kind of picks where there's some projections. I do think the Gamecocks, the reason I said like projection, like it's just kind of you're visualizing how it's going to go, right? Sometimes we make a pick, Wes, and the hay's in the barn. Sometimes it's just an early pick. I think the context is always important of why you're making the pick. It's Florida, South Carolina, or Georgia, right? I think Georgia's going to flip Juju Lewis from Southern Cal, I think. Florida, they're in the mix. It's kind of been those two, but he's got the official schedule to Georgia. I just think it's going to fall eventually to South Carolina. That's my feel. I don't know for sure. I may be changing the thing in a few days or in a month, but that's what I've got right now.
Yeah, do you remember when the Georgia official is, man?
Sometime in June.
Okay, so Florida is April 6th, and for some reason it's not on his profile yet as far as the Georgia one, but that's one of those things. Georgia is not pushing as hard as South Carolina and Florida, but they're still hanging in there, and because they're Georgia, you can't count them out, right? And so I think timing is going to be a factor in this, and that's why if you're South Carolina or Florida, you're wanting to get this thing over with, I feel like, and get him locked in with you, obviously. And so we'll see if either one of those can kind of make that move coming up. And Clint says, what do we think about him as a quarterback prospect? I like him. You know, I think he's a big kid, big arm. Can I throw the cliche sneaky athleticism in there?
Sure.
I mean, heck of a basketball player, which I think does speak to certain skills that translate to the football field as well. And good leader, good pedigree. He's got a brother who, you know, plays offensive line that signed with Ohio State. And so, you know, it's a family that understands big time ball and understands the process and all those things. And for South Carolina, I mean, this is their primary target for that 2025 class, Chris. Like, this is the guy they're going after. And, you know, they would then have to sort of, like, they've gotten to the point that they are so all in on him, they would have to kind of revamp some things if he went elsewhere. So that's kind of an interesting aspect. But also, that's part of their recruiting pitch, I think, is that, hey, you're our guy.
Yeah.
And that seems to have resonated with Montgomery and the family as well. Craig says, I think he's a lock. You know, Craig, I can't get that far, and I'll tell you why. I think very easily he could commit to South Carolina, and then we could all say, yeah, you were right, he was a lock. But that doesn't necessarily mean at this given moment that he was a lock, because I think if he was a lock, I think he would already be committed, because he did heavily consider shutting the process down earlier in this calendar year. And this is a family that has taken a very, I feel like intentional is our word of the year so far, but taken a very intentional, methodical approach to the process. And I think if they just knew where they were going, if they were ready, I think he'd already be on a commit list somewhere. I think there's still a little bit that he is filling out before making a decision. And I think the Georgia factor, too, it is something that you can't completely write off yet at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Georgia's involvement with some other guys like Juju Lewis, I mean, I think that's a major factor. But he's clearly still considering all three of those programs, and the fact that he does have the trip to Florida booked in addition to the trip to South Carolina. There's some meat on the bone there that shows that he's not just done, not just going through the motions, right? Because, again, go back to the timeline, thought about committing early at a couple different points and just wasn't quite ready. So, again, ultimately, I think if I have to make a pick, I think it falls to South Carolina, but I don't know, and I can't get as far as calling it a lock either.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's where my pick would be too. Final thing, Chris, pop quiz, man. How much do you think South Carolina women's basketball is favored over Indiana?
Oh boy. Indiana, a 4 seed, right? Because they beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, great game yesterday, by the way. I'll let you stall here for a second and think for a moment. But I watched almost that whole game. Two really good basketball teams. And let me tell y'all, literally, it's not just a talking point. Women's basketball, like, there is a lot of skill in the game right now. And so I had a blast this weekend going back and forth between the men's games and the women's games and which one was the closest. And I saw so many great basketball games on both sides, the men and the women, this weekend. Watched almost that entire Indiana-Oklahoma game. Oklahoma, they were game for that matchup. And so that was – I thought for a good portion Oklahoma might pull the upset. I knew South Carolina would be heavily favored. Just by the eye test, I think Indiana would have to play – they'd have to play just about their A-plus game, and South Carolina would have to play their C-plus game for it to be close, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not to say they don't have good players. They do have some good players. Mackenzie Holmes is the name to remember. She's their best player. But I think the Gamecocks – will prevail here and advance to the Elite Eight. That game now set ESPN 5:00 on Friday. Chris, DraftKings has put out an early line for this game. I think normally basketball, you don't really see the lines everywhere until the day before, but this is obviously tournament basketball, a little bit more interest. What do you think the line is, man? I'll say this, give you a hint. Little bit lower than I suspected.
I'm going to go 15.
Wow.
Am I on it?
Great guess. 15 and a half.
Nice. I was going to go 19. Then that hint, I lowered it because of your hint. So, yeah, I mean, a good team. That's the fun thing about sports, Wes. Fun thing about March Madness. Teams can sometimes come out and play a C game and the other plays an A, right? And then you get upset. So, South Carolina fans certainly don't want that this time. The way that they're playing, they would have to have a steep drop off from one game to another to play even a C game would be the Grand Canyon, I think, based on how they played last time. So, yeah, we'll have much more, I'm sure, on that game throughout the week, though, on GamecockCentral.com, especially from our guy Chris Wellbaum.
No doubt, man. It's been fun to follow. And you have to play neutral site, so that's obviously it's a little different than playing at CLA. That factors in. But all right, y'all, we've gone long here, but we have definitely enjoyed it. Appreciate everybody who stayed along and commented and joined us. Lots of familiar faces. Appreciate y'all. And, man, hope y'all have a great day. We'll at some point be back on this week to talk a little bit more about what's going on. All right, for Chris, I'm Wes. This has been another episode of GC Live. Check us out on GamecockCentral.com throughout the week as we bring you coverage on football, basketball, baseball, and more. We'll see y'all. Have a good one.